Hi, Collective Table listeners. It's Dana. For this Behind the Conversation episode, you'll hear Chelsea and me talk about the cross. As promised in our last episode, we wanted to give you just an introduction to our thoughts on the cross and maybe permission to think about it in a different way. We hope you enjoy this and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, so it's Good Friday, and that means we're going to talk about the cross. We promised listeners we were going to have a conversation about the cross, a very complex topic. But let's just start off with, what were you taught about the cross growing up?
And just in full transparency, I've had anxiety about this conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of all the things I was taught as a young person and the things I've had to deconstruct and put back together and the questions I still have.
Yeah.
It just was a lot to kind of be sitting with over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important because the cross is such a, not only a visual, but like it's so critical to the Christian message. And so I think we just want to offer some ways to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that it was definitely, there's anxiety for me as well, because there's different views out there of the cross. There's different ways to think about it. There's people who just choose not to think about it because it's had a negative. And so, and I know people who are going to see it in a different way. And so, but it's necessary. You're absolutely right. It's necessary. And it's critical to the Christian message. And so here we are.
Yeah. So over the past couple of days, I really have been thinking, you know, what was the first time I thought about the cross? Like, and I was very involved in church. I mean, Jesus freak to the maximum capacity. I was always at church. And Tuesday nights was middle school youth group. And we lived in outside of Pittsburgh, but smallish town. My youth director had like 80 kids, middle school kids, piling into the basement of the church.
Pretty good.
And it was always fun and everybody, you know, all that kind of stuff that needed to attract kids. But we always, every single week, watched the crucifixion. Like, we watched from when Jesus was arrested to Jesus dying on the cross.
Every week.
Every week. And it was, like, put to a U2 song. And, like, it must have been, like, a 90s youth group.
And this is a movie?
Like a video. It almost was a music video, now that you asked that question. It was almost like a music video to the crucifixion.
Okay, super curious if anybody else there has seen this.
I'm going to have to find it. Maybe I could put. But we watched every week, and we always stopped right after the cross. And that's when we broke up and, like, had to have discussions about it and stuff like that. But it was so critical because our youth director really thought that this was the saving thing, that you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that you were so bad that you needed, you know, to
this
be
how
saved
by
the
saved.
Blood of Jesus. Yeah. Yep. So he, every week, because he thought maybe new kids would come or someone would reject it the week before. So he thought he was always providing us an opportunity to get to heaven.
To get saved.
Yeah.
Be saved.
What about you? What did, like, you grow up with?
So I did not have that kind of youth experience, but I did grow up in the church and ebbed and flowed with it throughout my time. And so while I don't have a very distinct memory, I do know that nobody sat down. I don't remember having conversations about the cross. It was just always there. And similar to your experience is that I knew, like, Jesus died for my sins. That's what had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a constant state of sin. I'm just, in full transparency, I definitely grew up with this theology that I was just a bad person, which was unhelpful for me and harmful in the long term. Ultimately, thank God I relearned theology, literally, thank God. But yeah, I mean, that's how I grew up. And that's so very similar. It just wasn't as perhaps as intentional as yours.
Yeah, but there's so much with the cross and original sin and our own, you know, participation that we just have to unlearn. I remember we did talk about the cross, and it wasn't, you know, this question, answer, wrestle type of thing. It was like, here's the answer to the cross.
Right.
When I was growing up.
Right. They were just telling you how it is.
We didn't have a lot of room there. But one of the things they said is there is nothing good you can do.
Yeah.
You are always going to bring your sinful self into it.
Ugh.
And you're sitting there thinking, like, a ninth grader, you already feel pretty shitty about yourself.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't need that on top of it. And then the other really, the thing that was going around at churches at that time was, if you were the only person, Jesus still would have died for you. And I think the thought was, like, Jesus loved you so much that Jesus would die for only you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in my brain, it was like, God, I'm so awful.
Yeah.
That Jesus had to die because of me individually.
Yeah.
And I did that to Jesus. My sin put Jesus on the cross.
And it's just, now as an adult, first off, knowing how the brain develops for young people and, it's your prefrontal cortex is not fully developed until you're 25. I just, that kind of message is so traumatizing. Yeah. At least it was for me.
And I just,
right? It's just, and it's, it is actually completely opposite to the creation story where God says everything God created was good. Like, we are good.
Yeah, when God gets to humans, they were very good.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But so, yet we hear
the original sin instead of the original goodness.
Exactly.
And I do think, having children now, I really am trying to teach them things that they are not going to have to unlearn later in life. Mm. And when I think about talking to Max about the cross, which he's three, he's not prepared to talk about the cross. It's like, I just want to tell him, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, until you're at a place where you can start incorporating some of it into your, attention or something. But yeah, you're not ready to hear about the cross and the brutality of Rome at that time. It's a lot for adults to process.
So with that, how do we see the cross? What does the cross mean for us? And I think we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of topics, but specifically knowing that the cross is God's love on full display. It is God's love.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing to really take away. And I'm sure some people are like, wait, what do you mean it's God's love? Like, it was a way to kill people. How does that work? Well, okay, well, just bear with us. But that is where we're going to go, is that this is God's love. And I think most importantly, we need to start off with, and this is, Jesus did not choose to get on the cross.
Right. God did not send Jesus to die on the cross.
That's right. Let's say it again. God did not send Jesus to die on the cross. That was not God's original intent. God's original intent is never death and harm.
Yeah. And I just think if that's the view of God, I think I'd have a hard time being worshiping.
Yeah.
Because, God is love.
God is
love.
Like,
that is the definition of God. And so when you think of a God who's love, that would send his son to die, for the sole reason to die, it just doesn't compete. It doesn't add up.
It doesn't. So who was responsible? Humans.
Yeah, so one of the things when we were kind of trying to think through this, it's like, okay, God is love, came to earth to fully understand what it was like to be in the human experience.
Right.
And I think really throughout Jesus, especially public ministry, especially the last week of Jesus's life, they were acts of love on top of acts of love on top of acts of love. And sometimes love is not nice. Like, sometimes love isn't just this big teddy bear type of feeling. Sometimes it's justice. It's going up against empire. It's doing things like, I think each thing that he did lead him to the cross, but only because it was in opposition to Rome and the empire and injustice.
Who was in power at that time.
Right.
I mean, if we go back to, we talked about in the previous episode, the first thing coming into Jerusalem, he cleanses the temple and he goes in and radically turns everything. I mean, he is angry, but it is an act of love because it is against the system that is oppressing and marginalizing people and keeping people out.
And I think that's probably, one of the things that really solidified his fate was that cleansing of the temple. And so,
absolutely.
Jesus, the acts that of Jesus's love throughout his life did lead him to the cross, but only because of human nature and our desire to oppress and keep power and keep the status quo.
It was all fear. I mean, you have the Roman Empire, who definitely does not want any kind of disruption or anything that's going to challenge their authority. You have the religious leaders of the time, some of the religious leaders of the time, who also didn't want things pushing on their authority. And so they want to control things. They want to maintain power. I mean, that's just, we talk about that in our life today. People who have power don't want to let go of power.
Well, I'm just sitting here, how much fear has played a role in religion for thousands of years.
Right.
And just, we see it today and we see it then. And I think, to put Jesus on the cross was the ultimate act of fear. not only are we afraid, but we're going to make sure you're afraid too.
Well, right? Yeah, that's what they use the cross to crucify people, to show to people, all right, we're in charge.
Right.
You better keep in line. You better not do anything that goes outside of what we want.
And think about, religion still does that today.
Absolutely.
You know, think about you needing Jesus to die. You need Jesus' blood to be saved. I mean, that's a fear tactic, right? Yeah. You know, and it takes away from God's true nature, I believe.
And I think it's, I even would say it's religion today, and it's our political and economic systems today as well, yeah. Right? It's all these systems that have control, and they don't want to give up control. Yeah. And so they're going to do what they need to do to maintain that.
Right. So I think Jesus on the cross was humanity's ugliness in full display.
Right.
It was the fear. It was wanting to keep power. It was greed. It was just like all the ugliness of humanity is Jesus on the cross. And paradoxically, it's also God's love on full display in the same act right there, because Jesus accepted that this was what the yep. situation that he was in and the time and place. And he didn't let fear stop him from how he was living his life. Like, he was still going to act with fierce love and radical compassion and go up against empire. That did lead him to the cross, those acts of love. But the cross finally is the full display of what that love looks like.
And you said this earlier, and I thought this was a good reflection, is he's all, you know, God comes in Jesus, God incarnate, and he experiences humanity.
Yeah.
And he does it with absolutely, I don't know how to say this any other, like with radical courage and love and compassion to really fight for what God originally intent, which is full love and wholeness with God's people. And he ends up on the cross and he experiences death.
Right.
You know, he experiences the pain that humans can experience.
And I think, so when God comes to us in the form of Jesus, it was to experience the fullness of human life, mm-hmm. birth. You know, we talk about adolescence and, you know, the fullness of what it is to be human. And that includes death.
Yeah.
I think there's some questions like, did it have to be so bloody? Did it have to be so violent? Well, I also think that it offers hope to people now, you know, mm-hmm. that Jesus went through such a horrific way to die.
Experience,
and yes,
yeah.
We did that. Humans did that to Jesus. But it offers some kind of peace, hope, because we know, and we're going to try to stay away from it, but that Jesus resurrects and there's a coming through of
right.
that.
There is. And one of the things I think about is who was at this experience as Jesus is dying, and you have his mother who's right there. And so you have a grieving mom who's watching this experience, seeing, feeling that pain. You have, you know, interestingly enough, it was mostly the women in his life who were documented in the scriptures that were there
yeah.
to witness this pain that he was going through, but to also witness this full love.
Yeah, because you think about, it's probably nothing worth it. I mean, I don't even like to go down that path, but like to lose a child. And
yeah.
there Mary is faithful.
Faithful.
And I can't imagine. I mean, I really can't imagine what that experience was like for her to not only know that that's the Messiah, but that that's your son. I mean, the amount of pain and that she was still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for people listening, again, this is a complicated topic. And I think, you know, you could still say, well, why the cross or why this way? And I would encourage people, at least in my life, I just continue to go back to, it wasn't God's intent. You know, God wanted full reconciliation with God's people, but humanity led it to this path. And so God was going to allow this. We have free will.
Mm-hmm.
We have free will. And so this is how it ultimately unfolded, because this is what humans chose. This is the path that humans chose. And so I encourage people to continue to ponder that, because I think it's something that may be unique for individuals. And then to think of it as, again, it's God's love.
Yeah. One thing that was a helpful when I was trying to deconstruct my theology of the cross or what the cross meant in my faith was that God didn't need Jesus to die on the cross. Like, God didn't
yes.
need Jesus. There was no debt to pay. There was no, God's not a bookkeeper in the sky that was collecting
right.
so that God could love us. God didn't need Jesus to love us. God loved us before Jesus. God, you know, but we maybe needed Jesus to die, because we needed to see we're tangible people, and we needed to see that love on display in that way.
Yeah.
To somehow believe it. We needed
that
something.
That is so powerful. That's, it goes back to God didn't need this. Like, God's loved us from the moment we were thought of.
Mm-hmm.
It was to change our hearts.
Right. And that's just a helpful transition for me because you do talk about free will, and it was Jesus deciding to follow where God was leading.
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't send Jesus to do that. I mean, that wasn't God's intention, like you said.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think? I mean, is this... Do we wrap it up? I'm sure there's so... I'm sure there's questions, and it's not a perfectly wrapped package,
Because there still is mystery in the... mystery in the cross, and no, I don't know if anybody has answers, but I do... I hope what we were able to provide in this brief undertaking of the cross was permission to think of it differently, because I think so often in religious life, like I know I've experienced this, there's no permission to go outside of the box or to ask questions or to think for yourself. And I hope that we just give people enough permission to start exploring it for themselves, maybe in a different way than they thought of before.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think that's a great takeaway, is just to think of it differently. Yeah. Right.
So we did a good job staying on the cross. One little tangent, but we will, in a few days, we'll get to talk about resurrection, as the reminder, you were Easter people. And so we get to talk about the resurrection, what it looked like after the cross. But until then, this Saturday is the pause. So we hope you take some time to pause, to be reflective, to let it all kind of soak into your heart, into your mind, and into your soul.
Yeah. Great. Well, see you soon. We know that this is a complicated topic to have a conversation about. It might have brought up feelings, thoughts, reflections, and maybe even some questions. We'd love to have a follow-up conversation, maybe a cross-to conversation with you, and hear what you have to say. Send us your questions. Maybe we could be in dialogue on how to explore and go deeper into this very complicated yet holy topic. We hope to hear from you.